Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart. Good evening. Welcome to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box here in Cold Spring, Texas. How are y'all doing, guys?
Doing good. Enjoying this long weekend.
That ain't no lie.
Trent? Watched a lot of college football and watched some high school football early on. It's been fun.
Trent, how about yourself?
I'm just excited that I don't actually have to go into work tomorrow and I can, hit the reset button and get ready for a Thursday Night Lights football game over on my end.
Toby, we do. We got a couple places we can go Thursday. We go to that Woodville-Anahuac game Thursday night
anytime they split them like that.
Yeah, it makes it nice, doesn't it?
Really?
Kind of be able to get out and travel a little bit and look at some different football teams, especially an Anahuac football team that we're interested in. So maybe a trip I make Thursday night is over to Woodville after I get in from work and stuff. Friday night, big game in Cold Spring for us, Battle of San Jacinto.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of football to talk on this Memorial weekend. I mean, we've had college football going on, high school football Thursday and Friday night, and a lot of good games in the area. And, kind of some upsets. Toby, let me ask you this, and Trent, I'll ask you the same question. What was your biggest upset game of the week, Toby?
I'm going to go first here because, okay. I mean, the one that jumped off the screen to me, and it might be, Toby might be the same opinion, but West Orange Star beating Newton, I don't think anybody in the Pick'ems picked West Orange. Well, no, I take that back. There was a few. There was three. There were three people in the Pick'ems that picked West Orange Stark to win that football game. So that one was kind of a surprise to me.
I think the shock factor in that game, in my opinion, was the score.
Yeah.
I felt like West Orange could win that. Yeah.
I felt like after last year they wanted to get themselves in gear, and I don't know, I felt like they were going to win that game.
I wasn't expecting that game to be such a huge gap. I mean, a 30-8 victory at home for Newton, right?
Yeah.
Never anticipated that. I mean, you figure those games most of the time are a 1-2 score game.
Right.
Right. So it makes you question, is West Orange that good, right? And or is Newton that far down?
Right.
Are they down this year?
I'm looking at the rankings. They're not.
Exactly.
No. And that's the thing. But then I get mixed reports about as far as history of Newton is concerned, and there's been times in the past where they've lost their home opener with a West Orange Stark and then made a deep run in the playoffs. So take that for what you want to also.
Well, Newton's going to make that big run in Region 3 in 3A Division 2. They're going to make that big run year in and year out until I think this year it's going to be a little bit different for them because they're going to be looking at in the regional finals round, they'll be looking at something like Woodville. So that's going to change things up for those guys, in my opinion. But that was a good upset game. Toby, what was yours?
Mine was Brenham over Huntsville.
You called that an upset.
I'm not saying it's an upset, but I was shocked. I thought it would go the other way.
Yeah, it was a shock for you.
Mm-hmm.
No? And we were together at the Dirty Donkey watching the score update of that game, and I was really, really shocked that the outcome of that game.
Yeah.
Especially, you'd seen Huntsville the week before in the scrimmage against Lufkin. So, kind of had a pretty good idea, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of what Huntsville looked like, and being able to talk to some of your sources that you have.
Yeah, I followed them pretty heavy last year, so I got to watch them play 2 or 3 times, and I knew they, obviously returned a lot, and then so I went and watched them at the scrimmage, and they picked up where they left off,
Yeah.
And looked good. Game, it was a close game. It was back and forth. But like I said, I didn't see that coming. So
now
that's the one that stands out to me. The other one would probably be that East Chambers.
Yeah.
That was kind of like, I've had a couple people call me and go, Rice, what's the deal? And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know. Let me look. And they only had 4 wins last year.
So
I don't know. Maybe they've up and coming. I don't know.
And, you know, I think last year East Chambers kind of got a slow start, didn't they, Trent? I mean, you followed them a little closer than the rest of us.
I mean, I don't think anybody was expecting East Chambers to drop their first, you know, home opener at that against a Rice Consolidated school. And that's, you know, I'm speechless on that one, too, because that was and we've covered all 3 games that were the big surprise to me, too. I mean, if I wouldn't have picked the Newton, I would have went with this Rice East Chambers game.
So I think whenever I go in and I look at my upset, I look at overall, I just kind of look at the score, right? And one of the games that you could look at as kind of an upset, but really do you, is the Splendor-Cleveland game. 70-10 was the final there. Splendor gets the win. So you kind of wonder, you and I were privileged to some information that with the Dunn kid moving in to Splendora, that they were
complete... They poured it on Cleveland, didn't they?
Yeah, but, I mean, can you really judge against Cleveland?
I mean, this may be their year. You know what I mean? This may be Splendor's year.
I mean, it very well could be.
I mean, that's what I'm hearing, huh?
70-10. I mean, and there was another game tonight, Friday night, that was 70-plus, and I'm looking down to kind of find it. And I'm not seeing it right off. Oh, here, Westwood and Mahia.
Yeah.
Westwood defeats Mahia 77-42. So, a lot of offense there for Palestine Westwood. A lot of football. But, I mean, in all reality, there were some really good football games. And coming into the next line of this is you look at Caldwell and Crockett. Caldwell pulls it out 35-34.
Yeah, that shocked me a little bit, too.
Close games, right? Because mm-hmm. you can go 2 different ways, right? In the topic where we're at is one side of it, one looking at it is some just a big gap in the scores, right? Blowouts or an upset in that aspect. But you got that Caldwell-Crockett game was a one-point game. Die ball in Madisonville. Madisonville gets the win over there, 28-27. Was the final.
Yeah, thanks a lot, die ball.
That was a good matchup.
That it was.
We called that, though, and that went down exactly like we thought.
Yeah. I even look at Hampshire Finette and Little Cypress, 13-7, a one-score game. You know, it wasn't it was a one score, right?
Well, we were getting some kind of some inside information over there. With I think everybody was dealing kind of with some weather across our area, but I think Hampshire Finette was having a little trouble trying to figure it out and getting in a rhythm over there. And you know, of course, the weather playing a key as well.
Well, we all had a little water to deal with Friday night. Luckily, I was in a press box. Toby was on the track.
But they're supposed to win that district. Pick to win that district.
Yeah.
They better start playing on some indoor stadiums or something and hope it don't rain.
Yeah. No.
That'll be a bind.
We're getting into the wet time of the year.
Yeah.
Football season. Got one brewing down there in the Caribbean. Looking to come into the Gulf. Ought to be here middle of next week sometime. But
how about your new Caney Eagles? They got popped.
They did against Barbers Hill. They did. But let's talk about another new Caney school, West Fork, against Brian Rutter. 43-31 was the final there. West Fork looking for their first win at the varsity level. And I felt like they made a good showing there, putting up 31 points. They don't have a senior on that football team.
Right.
Everything's junior and below. So something your brother knows a lot about, right? Dealing with that and building a program. He did that at George Ranch. And was it year 4 or year 5 he was at George Ranch that he won the title?
Year 3.
Year 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So his third year he won a state title. What about Summer Creek shutting out Shadow Creek 42-0?
Yeah, that was stout.
Spring Westfield at the 6A level. Spring Westfield and C.E. King, 34-28 is final. Spring Westfield gets a win over there. Here's one, Toby, that we talked about, we wanted to go to. Trent, you was in on it too, but Lufkin falls to Longview 7-3. They showed up to play football and ended up with a baseball score.
Yeah, that had to be some defense being played, huh?
Legit defense.
Man. Yeah, it's a low score. That was that'd have been a good game.
Here's one, a true upset. Magnolia defeats Montgomery Lake Creek 59-33. And we talked about Lake Creek being big in the standings.
Yeah, one that we saw in the middle of the broadcast, and we talked about it a little bit, Alex and I did. Lake Creek is a regional finalist, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't show very well as far as us trying to figure it all out unless you go over there and watch them and see what they got. May have graduated a lot, I don't know, but typically they pretty competitive.
Chapel Hill over Jasper, 56-20.
Top Chapel Hill's good, though.
Like, I think the biggest matchup. I think, honestly, as we look at it, and I'm looking for the score, and I'm not seeing it here, was the Kilgore-Carthage game. And those of y'all that are wondering, we had a great show last week that we put together. We had Coach Ratliff on the show, and it was great, great interview. And we're three quarters of the way through the show, and my computer crashed. Like, all of the recordings, we lost the whole show. But probably one of the best shows that we had put together. And with that, I was talking about, I put the top 15 games in Region 3 that are kind of a must-see. And in there, we had talked about that Kilgore-Carthage game. Kilgore defeated Carthage 20-15. But we talked about that, and then it rolled into an article that I'd read on the 2024 predictions, state title predictions, and Kilgore predicted to win state title over there. So it all kind of went together, Trent, and that game there was a good one. One that I wish I would have been at.
Yeah, that was a game that was super close, and I didn't see it come across my ticker whenever we were going over scores Friday night, but clicking over there to it, 20-15, another close football game. If we weren't sitting in the press boxes Friday night, that was definitely one that we might have went and saw. That another close one, that Dayton Crosby, old rivalry renewed.
Yes.
19-14, the final there, Dayton gets that one.
And with that loss Carthage took, drops them to number two and Stephenville number one in the 4A rankings. But another game down, big school, small school, is in the final minutes, Corgan Camden Bulldogs pull out the win over Tarkington 27-24, which is really big for Corgan.
Yeah.
Playing up two classifications.
He talked about that in our podcast.
Yeah, that nobody will ever hear. We won't even be able to re-listen to it because...
Yeah, he went into depth on playing up like that, and it does advantage them. It's going to help them in the long run, obviously.
Yeah.
It was probably the kids had to fight for it.
Yep.
So that was a great win for them. Great, great win. It was probably a good game for Tarkington to battle. You know, probably had to battle it out.
Yeah.
Looked like it was back and forth, and so it's always a good deal.
No, good for Corgan, right? And really and truly good for Tarkington. As much heck as I give them, right? Yeah. You know, I want nothing really and truly but for success for that program and for those kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way to keep kids engaged is to win football games and makes kids want to get out of the hallway and join the football team if they're winning and having a good time at it. But at the end of the day, Coach Belt coming in, taking over last year, his first year, kind of trying to build on you know, it's progress, a tight ball game right there. That's a game. It's one of those deals where I can handle a one score loss over a blowout a lot easier. Cause whenever you lose to a blowout, you lose the morale mm-hmm. of your team and you end up in a game like this, 27-24. That was a football game. Then kids battled for four quarters playing and that builds excitement within the program. And I think that's huge. And, you know, even though it's a loss for Tarkington, it's a win in the locker room and the morale for the program for them to build up and be better, in my opinion. So,
yeah, it really is. And, you know, I just, you know, you were talking about heartbreakers and kind of upsets. Hitchcock losing to Houston Legacy 37-36. is kind of an upset over there too.
Well, it is and it's not. That Legacy school, they do a lot of recruiting, right?
They do.
They do a lot of recruiting, so they're able to
be top notch. Yeah. Should have won that game, in my opinion.
Well, and I'm not disagreeing. They probably should have, but you know, you factor in some other things that Hitchcock is a passing football team, and Houston Legacy is primarily a run team, and you know that right there could have been enough of a difference. You know what I mean in that aspect. So, and Toby and I are going to talk about it a little bit here in just a little bit whenever we talk about the Cold Spring game after the break, but it wasn't until Cold Spring got the ball on the ground, and you know what I mean, that they were able to really be successful. But there was more dynamics to that football game against Liberty this last week, and this next segment we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the Anahuac Panthers win this last week as well here on the 590 Sports Show. But we're going to take a quick break, hear a word from a couple sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk about the games we were at and fill everybody in on what we've seen, get them built up for that 3A football that we got that we're looking forward to. So you're listening to the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Since 1948, Wilcox Drugstore has been the Anahuac area's most experienced and trusted pharmacy. Continuing its long-lasting reputation for personal attention to all your medical needs, Wilcox Drugstore offers counsel, refills, transfers, compounding, flu shots, and delivery. Visit pharmacist Dave Wilcox and his experienced staff today at 1208 Miller Street in Anahuac or call 409-267-6141. Wilcox Drugstore, delivering solutions, delivering confidence.
Welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Toby Tolis in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Trent Hart down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. We're all powered by Texas Podcast Media here on the 590 Sports Show. Appreciate our sponsors picking up the studio sponsor aspect of it, but got us a live listener in here, the CEO of 590 Sports. Yep, go ahead and put him on, Case. He's got the headphones on now. Can you hear us, buddy? He said, yep, I can hear us. So, man, Trent, we had some good games. We'll talk about Anahuac first, and we'll get into that Cold Spring Liberty game. But
wait a minute. Why do we got to talk about Anahuac first?
Well, I mean, we could go over the pick'ems if you wanted to. I mean, what?
Well, there ain't much to talk about in the pick'ems except for I suck. Toby's awesome. And you're just kind of middle of the road.
I'm mediocre, kind of like this podcast. So go over the pick'ems real quick because you got it there. Let's go over the pick'ems real quick.
The screen.
Okay.
How about that? I'll share the screen.
Yeah, because we want to see and we want to talk about this. And for those of y'all that don't know, at the end of each show, we do a pick'ems. And we post on to our Facebook page on Monday morning on 590 Sports. We post it there, and you can chime in on the fun. It's a contest. There is prizes at the end of the season from our sponsors, Randy's Rubs, Porter's Processing, 590 Sports. So we do have some prizes to get, and we're going to do this pick'em prize pack for the regular season, and then we will also do one for the postseason. We will end it going into the state championship, and then we will do one for the state championship games. So we did it this last year. Terry Mills from actually here in Cold Spring ended up winning it. He was 7-3 overall in the pick'ems, so did pretty good. I went 8-2. Trent, what did you do? 7-3?
7-3, I think it was.
He was hung up on North Shore. and there was a lot of people that was on up there.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So are you sharing that screen with us or what?
I can see it on my end.
I can't see it, but that's okay. It's the way I have my laptop screen set up. I'm not able to see his. But
so just so let me run down for you. And what we do is we have seven games, one of them which being the game of the week, and we're gonna talk about our pick'ems for this week here in a little bit. But so seven games, a game of the week where you pick the score, which you think the end score will be, right?
Right.
And what we do is we go in there at the end of every week, and I'll total up the score for that game of the week, right?
Right.
For both scores. And whatever that total, which this week I think it was 76 total points were scored in that football game.
And Trent, just for the record, Trent almost nailed that score.
Yeah, and so does Landon close. Here. He's sitting in fourth. I was only 4 points away from hitting that score, and so was Landon Corbett sitting in fourth place. But so the point difference is how this is totaled up. And the reason we do that is so that when we get to the end and we're going to have people that are tied, just like we have people that are tied this week, that's going to be the difference. So the lowest point total difference is how it separates it. So to this week, Ashley Elam, Toby Tullis, and Cindy Dearman, and y'all watch out for Cindy Dearman. She's made picks over in mine for a long time, and she's always in the top. Also 7-0 this week, but it's the point totals that make the difference. Ashley was the closest with a 21-point differential, then Toby with a 31-point differential, and then Cindy with a 48-point differential. And then you get into the 6-1s, Landon, then Craig. Yeah, you're not so middle of the road. You're sitting in fifth currently, Craig. It's not that big a deal. Sixth place is Brian McDaniel. Russell Wilburn is seventh. Jermaine Lewis, Frank Garvey's in ninth. Nestor Hernandez in 10th. And then John Whitehead is the last 6-1 sitting in 11th. Next are the 5-2s. That goes all the way down to number 20. We got Terry Mills, as we mentioned earlier, won our pick'em contest from the state games. Josh Provost, Dustin McDaniel, Cullen Till, Cade Guy, Chris Moran, Ray Parkinson, Cindy Dillo, Darwin Hawkins, and then me by my lonesome at 4-3 with a 4-point differential at the dead last is yours truly.
So you mentioned Chris Moran, and I need to throw this out there. I had a phone call just a second ago. I got a very, very close friend that's not doing very well. And they live over here local. And Jerry, it's been somebody that's really close to me for a long time and a father figure. But talking about mentioning Chris Moran in this pick'ems, and I go to Bullet Grill every Wednesday night and do pregame show. And Toby, you was out there this last week, you and the boys and the golf simulator and all that good stuff. But even past all of that, so I called Chris this morning because I wanted to carry Donna and them some food. And I called Chris. I said, hey, bud. I said, what can we put together? I need to carry some food over here to, you know, kind of help these people out, so on and so forth. And he's like, man, I can do some pasta. I can do whatever you want. And I said, let's do some pasta stuff, you know. So he threw some things together. And I got down there about 10:15 this morning on Sunday morning to pick it up. And I got in there to pick it up, pay for it. And he says, don't worry about it. He said, just give the family the condolences. That's what kind of people they are over there at Bullet Grill. Just very helpful, very, you know, community oriented and, you know, thoughtful. And I can't thank them enough for reaching out. I mean, I was ready to pay for whatever it cost. I didn't care if it was $1,000, I'd have paid it. But, you know, for him to donate that to the family, you know, going through this time of need, it's greatly appreciated. And if y'all are up around Point Blank, 401 Highway 156, Point Blank, Texas, stop by the Bullet Grill. You're going to love their food. The staff is great. But more importantly, what they do for the community, they go above and beyond. So just had to give them a little shout out, you know, on that here on the podcast because it meant a lot to me. So anyway, back to Trent being in last place.
Oh, yeah. Let's not forget about the bash on me here.
Is that what you heard? Trent was in last?
I'm looking at it right here. Yeah. He's last.
At last place. Put together a good spreadsheet, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He normally does.
I always put together a good spreadsheet.
He does do that. But let's talk about that Anahuac game first, and then we'll jump into the Cold Spring game. Trent, y'all had a good one on your hands down there in Anahuac home game. against a private school. Didn't know a whole bunch about them, but tell us your thoughts on how Anahuac looked and prediction for the rest of the season.
Oh, I'm not going to go into predictions for the rest of the season, but what I can tell you is that, you know, went into this football game knowing, and after the film that I watched, knowing that Cypress Christian was not a bad football team. I mean, they had a running back that is committed to Kansas, and he was very, very fast and very, you know, field aware. His vision on and being able to see seams and cut up holes is was, you know, really, really good from what I could tell watching film. And it was really good from what I could tell, you know, Friday night. But going into that game, you know, there was quite a few people that were picking Anahuac to lose that game. And, you know, I had some worries about Anahuac's secondary and kind of, you know, what was going to happen in the trenches with the offensive and defensive linemen. Especially from what I saw from the scrimmages. And this goes to show you that when you watch teams in scrimmages and leading up to the preseason, it does not do teams justice whatsoever, really. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's a completely different team that I saw from Anahuac than what I saw Friday night. And what I mean by that is just the rhythm that they were able to get in offensively. We didn't see that against Hardin-Jefferson or against Liberty. We didn't see the Anahuac Panthers go under center once during both of those scrimmages. So I was completely, you know, thinking that Anahuac was going to work totally out of the shotgun. Well, to my surprise, they went under center quite a few times and ran the football. So that was a pleasant surprise, and they ran it effectively. But, for you know, when it comes to this quarterback and getting Brady Barrier back, It's a whole new dynamic for Anahuac this time around. And just to see the progression of Brady Barrier and the way that he's gotten better, not only with his arm, but with his feet. I mean, he had I'm trying to remember the stats now. Let me bring it up while I'm thinking about it. But it was just an overall better effort on both sides of the football. The defense especially, and that was my major concern. They were able to hold that running back to only 68 yards, I believe it was, or 61 yards. It was something like that. I know it wasn't 70, it was 60 something. However, you know, that was what I felt like was the biggest win out of all of it. Even though Anahuac kind of took the foot off the gas pedal and off after the first half and ended up, you know, with 35. I think it could have been a lot more if we could have just kept on pressing them, but no need for it. I think they're going to have a much better test against a really good Woodville team coming up this Thursday.
Yeah, looking forward to that myself.
Yeah, looking forward to that myself. The Anahuac Woodville game, that's going to tell us a lot about Anahuac, in my opinion. It's also going to tell us a lot about Woodville, really, in that aspect, too. We know what kind of a football team they should be, Woodville. I'm very curious to see overall what they're going to be like. And facing a really good Anahuac football team, that's going to be a big test and probably where I'm going to end up Thursday night.
Hey, did y'all have a lot of rain during that game, Trent?
Starting around the second quarter, it rained for about the entire second quarter, and then around halfway through halftime, it let up and was good for the rest of the game. But it didn't really, the wetness really didn't affect things all that much as far as just keeping on going for the Panthers. And I brought it up here, 140 yards on the ground, 322 through the air, which accounts for 462 total. Brady Barrier, I think, passed for four and ran – wait, no, he passed for three touchdowns, ran for two touchdowns. And most of that, the running part of it was in the red zone, and they were all designed running plays for him whenever they got into the red zone. So some things that they can still work on. As always, you know, there's always little things that you're going to have to mess with, and this Panther team's got a long way to go if they think they're going to make a deep playoff run this year, and we'll see what happens in Woodville for sure.
Sounds like y'all had a good start, though.
Yeah, I'm definitely pleased.
I mean, you got the W. You had I mean, a lot of yards on the ground, a lot of yards in the air. Put up respectable points. Had a good defensive stand. Now y'all go into Woodville, so yeah, that'll be. Y'all are off to a good start.
Yeah, hopefully the weather will be a little bit better this Thursday.
Yeah.
Than what it was Friday night. So I know on a group meet that Trent and I was on, Aaron was talking about the Hampshire Finet LCM game, and the weather was just, they got a lot more rain there than what we got in Liberty.
Right.
As Cold Spring gets a win, 8-6 was the final. And blown coverage for Cold Spring is what allowed Liberty a good ball thrown. Don't want to take that away from that Merez kid. He threw a good ball, but coverage wasn't there and drops into Wilcliffe's hands, and he's able to get a touchdown from about 35 yards out. But that was midway through the first half, right in there. And, you know, a lot of turnovers in that football game. You know, yeah. I think in the first half, Liberty had 4. I sent an email, tried to get stats, hadn't got stats. Probably know and why.
The stats would have, they would have told the story.
Yeah, they would have. Overall, it really would have.
It was, it didn't, the rain wasn't heavy, obviously, but the ground was wet.
It was spotty.
It was spotty, yeah. So I wouldn't say it was just one of those real nasty ones, but yeah, I mean, we got a lot of work.
Lots of
it. We got a lot of work to do.
That game Friday night, for what I could see of it, because the windows were horrible there in Liberty. But it really exposed a lot, mm-hmm. you know, our front three up front. I think we need to, and I've always said this, they like to run that 3-4, and I think a 4-3 is a little bit more sufficient for Cold Springs defensively. And we have the guys that we can put their hands in the dirt, right? So, you know, I feel like that's one adjustment that could be made defensively to help us be better. But I mean, the secondary wasn't great. You go back and you think about the scoring drive that Liberty scored on, and that come behind a wasn't it, didn't that come right? No. They scored and then had the little pooch kick that they recovered. So there early on. But you know, I seen a lot defensively and offensively. There's so much that needs to happen, you know.
Yeah.
We run the spread for 3 quarters, Trent, and it was fourth quarter. They threw a pick in the end zone. We brought it out, get our first possession, and we burn 8 minutes off the clock, Toby?
I want to say there was 8 minutes to when we got the ball. It was eight minutes to try to go down and score, and at the pace we were going, I honestly felt that in 8 minutes we still wasn't going to score.
Right.
I mean, nothing against it, but it's like watching paint dry. I mean, it's just that type of offense, right?
Right. I mean, they went back to the double wing.
Yeah.
Not even the slot T. They went back to the double wing.
And before that, you know, we were in the spread, and I think a lot of it is we've ran the ball so much that it's the one thing you don't want to happen is throw a pick, okay? And so from a coach's standpoint of view, you're really wanting to be conservative. And so when you have a Tiger Parker, you can kind of lean on him.
Yeah.
And to see the frustration of him trying to run it the first 2 or 3 plays and just 8 people hitting him, you could see he was frustrated. He was frustrated on the sideline for no blocking. It was just kind of getting to be a mess. So then they kind of started throwing it, and we were overthrowing a lot of balls. There wasn't a lot of accuracy at all there. And so, anyways, it just it kind of snowballed, and we wound up, hey, we've got to do something because whatever we're doing, it's not working now. So they went back to what their bread and butter, what they're used to, and it was a slow process, and it looked like, you know, one play, like a linebacker, looked like he overran the play, and Caden Barton cut it back and went 60.
60, put 8 on, 6 on the board,
yeah.
Right? 2-point conversion.
Before that, though, like I said, Liberty was down. I mean, they had 10 yards to get in, and the game's over with, and looked like the quarterback just kind of faked the dive and then threw it up in the corner, and we had a guy there, and it just got picked. And so it quickly changed for Liberty. But, you know, both teams fought hard. I mean, they really did. I mean, there was a lot of intensity, I thought, on both sides of the ball. I was really impressed with Liberty, their new coach, and the things that they're doing over there. There was a lot of intensity. I thought their defense really was swarming the ball pretty good. I thought our defense played good. I thought our up front guys on the D-line, I thought, played good. I thought we put a lot of pressure on them. I thought just at the end of the day, offensively, we just couldn't. I didn't see the smoothness that I thought we might see, but it's going to take time. It's one of those take time things that I think you just got to stay true to it. If you go back to what we were doing and you're just hoping that you have that one busted play, it's a long season, you know?
So you go back and you look at it, Toby, and as you're talking, things pop up in my head, you know, you go back to the two scrimmages that we played in Livingston and then in Crockett. So quarterback knew that he wasn't getting touched. So now you put it in a game setting, right? Mm-hmm. It throws everything off because now you're worried about what's coming from that backside, you know, whenever he does set up to kind of throw the ball. So kind of hurrying it a little bit more, you know, there's not that timing and that tempo.
Yeah, it did make a difference.
Yeah.
We had one of the plays, I want to say it was a pick, and when I went back and looked at the video on it, it looked like a post pattern that Caden Barton, like a skinny, short route post. And he had come across, and he had the inside. He was there, and the ball just airmailed. That could have been the rain, could have been a wet ball.
Right.
It could have been, obviously, numerous different things, but it sailed, and it went to the free safety, and it was a turnover. And I don't know the exact, but I want to say we probably had, four turnovers?
Three or four.
Yeah, three or four. They had some. So, like I said, at the end of the day, it was we got the win. So you can look at it how you want to look at it, but we did get the win. So that part of it is good, and we'll take that momentum into the
Battle of Santa Ana
County and go from there. But I'm not looking from this. You're asking me how I felt about that game. You know, I'm not looking at getting a win. Yeah, no, I'm looking at we want to make the playoffs. You know what I mean? And so that needs to be our focus each week. And when it becomes district time, I'm seeing what Anahuac's doing. You know, I'm seeing that. I'm seeing what Kirbyville is doing, who I was assuming is not going to make the playoffs, and now all of a sudden they're made a pretty good show in this past week. So concerning. Yeah. It's concerning. So we'll see how it goes, you know, and they just got to keep working hard and keep pounding it, you know.
Next segment, we're going to kind of talk around the horn. We're going to touch on something that didn't make the air last week because of the podcast, that whole situation, but we're going to circle back on the Tasso conversation, Trent, something you and I talk about a lot. So we come back, we're going to talk about Tasso a little bit and talk about some other games from around the area that we kind of noticed and gearing up into the Battle of San Jacinto for Toby and I and Trent going into Anahuac going into Woodville for 2 weeks in a row. So we're going to talk about that and a lot more here on the 590 Sports Show powered by Texas Podcast Media. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
From custom processing, Professional Guide and Hunt's high tanning and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Waters Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to WatersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413. Swanky Insurance in Anahuac, Texas is dedicated to community and service. That includes saving you money. With access to over 30 carriers, Swanky Insurance will give the personal attention that you deserve and tailor any policy specifically to your needs. From home, auto, flood, and windstorm, they are your one-stop insurance agency. Call agent and owner Todd Swanky to get your no-obligation cost-saving quote today at 409-267-3115, or you can visit them at swankyinsurance.com.
Welcome back to the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Trent Hart down there in Anahuac, Texas in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box in segment three here, guys, of the show. And, man, we've talked about a lot. Talked about some scores, right? We talked about our pick'ems and the games we were at. Game we weren't at, Saturday morning, I went to the cafe and I got to meet seen old Charlie Ballard with old Waverly Tex. He's a photographer, shoots a lot of the Shepherd stuff now, covering for the Polk County Enterprise. And they pushed him over there, which I wasn't real happy about because now Cold Spring ain't getting that paper coverage, in my opinion. But and Charlie was a Cold Spring guy for a long, long, long time. But now he's on the Shepherd horse. And I asked him, I said, Charlie, you were at the Kirbyville game, Kirbyville Shepherd game last week. I said, you know, what was your thoughts on it? You know, he says, man, he said, Kirbyville is really good. And I said, okay. He said, I'm telling you that Cold Spring will not be able to stop Dillinger, their quarterback, throwing the ball. He said, and the two running backs, which one of them is Preston Stevens. Trent, you seen him last year.
Yep.
He said, I'm telling you, you will not. Cold Spring won't be able to stop their two running backs. And I said, so you're telling me the Battle of San Jacinto is this week, Friday night. I said, from what you just told me, I said, you're telling me that Shepherd's going to beat Cold Spring. And he said, yes, confidently.
Damn.
Confidently. Now, I go back and I look at the scoreboard. 34-14 was the final between Kirbyville and Shepherd Friday night.
Yeah, see, that just, it don't add up. You know what I mean?
It don't.
At that rate, I feel like Cold Spring can win that game at what I'm seeing here.
At what you see on the scoreboard. Now,
the way it ended last year, as young as they were and what they were getting back.
Right.
I thought, it's going to be a
yeah,
be another dogfight. You're going to have to come up with something. But, I mean, they put 34 on them. 34 points.
That tells me there was no defense.
No defense, yeah.
And we think about this back to last year, the Cold Spring Shepherd game. Tiger Parker wasn't running the ball. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
He was not running the ball. He was out hurt with his ankle injury. So, my question is, with a healthy Tiger, which is what I've seen this last week with him running the ball, I don't see a simple stop.
Yeah. Now, he ran hard. Problem is, you can't just have him.
No, you can't run.
Yeah, you'll get so much frustrated. You've got to keep him off balance, and you got to be able to do, you know, or do what they did that last drive and say, we're going to try to get 2 or 3 yards every down and hope it works.
Just on a guesstimate, say Cold Spring ran what, 75 offensive plays?
I don't know. I wanted to see how many plays we ran.
And I'm just going off of a guesstimate from watching.
Let's just say it was
75. You figure Tiger probably touched the ball 65 of those? Or let me rephrase that. It was on the ground, running play.
It's quite
65 of those. Because there was a few plays where Tiger, they subbed him out. Right? And then you had Caden getting some touches and stuff.
But Caden really didn't get any touches till that they went into the
Double wing.
And I don't even think Tiger ran at that point.
I don't think he did either.
Yeah, but they had him already out of the game at that point.
So my point being is they threw the ball 8 to 10 times. You know, David Rowe had that one run, 10-yard gain.
Yeah,
you
and know. We completed some passing it.
Yeah. Caden had a great catch over the middle.
LSR caught one or so, like maybe more. I don't know without seeing the stats.
Right.
It wasn't all bad, though. It really wasn't. It was more of, you know, I thought they've got to feel comfortable doing what they're doing. And,
right.
And you're right. You're going to throw picks and you're going to do some things, but it's not all that bad. And I think it's good to be able to do both. I really do. I think what they did that last drive, it was not a bad thing. They had plenty of time to do it, right?
Right.
And it worked out. So that was what they orchestrated and it happened. And it was a great, you know, great move and great win. But back to the Kirbyville, it shocks me. You know what I mean? And then you give me the insight on that because that was one of my things. I'm like, man, Kirbyville. Because I've been all along, you know, kind of on the fence with them. I mean,
and we have been because Trey Allen gets the Navasota job, right?
He got welcomed there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
We ain't went there yet.
But so he gets the Navasota job, so they have a late hire, you know, as a head coach. They hired within, I believe, didn't they, Trent?
I couldn't tell you.
God.
Trent.
Dude. I mean,
let's just say they did. Now, whatever, it's a great start, though. I mean, Shepherd goes, what, 2 rounds deep last year?
Yeah.
I mean, bigger school, walk in, they played at Shepherd. That's a good showing.
Yeah, for Kirbyville.
That was a very good showing, yeah.
So, it really kind of makes you rethink the district.
But the Battle of San Jacinto.
Scoreboard watching, I mean, the same is to be said for, I mean, it's funny the parallels, right? Because, you know, we got two pretty big games. Y'all facing Shepherd, and then we're facing Woodville, and Woodville going into Orangefield and taking care of them, putting up 27 points against Orangefield 7. I mean, that's kind of a telltale, too. And I think this week is going to say a lot about this district, and we'll definitely have a better feel for it.
No, you're right. I'm glad you brought the Woodville Orangefield up, because that was another one. I'm looking at Orangefield thinking, okay, are they going to get in? You know, I mean, well, you got to think. And then Woodville, which Woodville's a good team, obviously. Woodville's, they got a lot going around there. So, but 27-7, I mean.
And then you talk about that when we look at this district, and then East Chambers getting shut out this last week.
Well, that's the one, the Rice. That was shocking.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was very shocking. So I don't, like I said, somebody said though that Rice was a lot better. I mean, I think I read it on this forum here that they talked about how Rice only won 4 games last year, but they were pretty good and going to make a run at that district.
And you have that. That's the beauty of a lot of the high school football is, you know, in Corgan, right? We talk about, in the conversations that we have with Coach Ratliff, you know, last year they were really down, you know, 2-8 overall, but slipped into the playoffs. But yet this year they had some kids, you know, that were underclassmen, got a little bigger and a little stronger and a little bit better, a little more senior veteran representation. So you have
some of these, like some of them we know. I mean, we've played, we watched, we've seen, but like Rice, I don't know a lot about them. So right. That was when the phone calls I got was, whoa, what, East Chambers, there? What's happened to them? I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. What about Palestine Westwood?
Dude.
Man, they rolled with 77 points, man. But we've known Palestine Westwood. That group's pretty good.
I've been on that Westwood train for
77 points. There was no defense being played there.
No.
They must have been slinging that thing around.
Yeah.
Well, and I was watching that score during the game, and most of Mejia's points came in trash time, right?
Yeah.
Probably when the second team was in there in the fourth quarter, late third, fourth quarter. And, but no, that was eye opening. You know, we talk about dive ball and them, you know, losing a narrow one to Madisonville, but that district over there, I think it is down to dive ball in Palestine.
Yeah, those two are going to be the top of the district. It's what is Teague going to do? I think Teague will probably get in.
Yeah.
Teague took care of New Waverly, but New Waverly's,
yeah,
I don't really know.
3A Division 2.
Yeah. But definitely Palestine, Westwood, and dive ball are top. Because I'm telling you, Madisonville's they're a good football team.
Yeah. And they went showed
2 or 3 rounds deep last year. I mean, they got most back.
Right.
So dive ball played them to the, that's nothing to hold your hat down about for sure.
So we didn't talk about this, but we had some games Saturday locally, right, in our area. Livingston went down to Fort Ben Austin, and Livingston fell there. 24-14 was the final there. Talked to Corky Cochran a little bit, and he videos all of the Livingston games. So that game was on 102.3 The Eagle. Ken Luck had the call, but first half of that was kind of some penalties and some turnovers for Livingston, and it took them a half to kind of get rejuvenated, you know, and get the ball rolling in their direction. So I think Coach Vanover is going to get that team, you know, kind of figured out. One of the things that in the pregame show that we talked about and had Brian Besh there, which follows Livingston line football really, really heavy, is he was talking about the depth that Livingston has and kids being able to play multiple positions and move them around. And that's something Livingston hasn't had over the last couple of years. And, you know, we've kind of talked about that district that they're in, and it's always been kind of bland, right? And, but this year it's going to be a little bit more appealing with Liberty in there and Bridge City. So it's going
to
be a little bit.
So
more.
What do you think Liberty's got to be for them to say successful year?
I think
what is your record?
I think if Liberty goes 5-5 this year,
that's good.
Because coming off of 2-8 last year.
I agree. And start doing it their way and some things and build on that. I agree.
Yeah. That's my opinion on Liberty.
I think they're heading the right direction.
The atmosphere is right for them, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The energy on the field for the kids was there. And I could see it.
It's different than last year, isn't it?
A huge improvement from last year.
Oh, massive improvement. Everybody I sat around was saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You could just see it. And that, Trent seen it when they scrimmaged them.
Yeah, we saw it firsthand. Trent brought it to us, right?
Said it like was, I said, they played a really good game. I mean, they really did in all reality.
Right.
They had that, if you go back to that one busted play and that pick, I mean, that just was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's what it boiled down to.
It did. We got, what are some big games this week coming up?
Well, we got to talk about the pick'ems, right? Well, we got to talk about upcoming pick'ems.
I was going to do that next segment. I was
okay,
gonna,
we can wait till
let's
next
see
segment.
Who we got.
Silsbee.
So we got
Little.
Atascocita and Katy.
That's a big one.
We got Atascocita and Katy. About our Anahuac Panthers in Woodville.
Yeah.
Good one.
Manville and Barbers Hill. Manville dropped one to Galveston Ball this last week.
Shepherd and Cold Springs.
North Shore and Crowley. They're on the road. That's a road trip. I made that road trip. That's a long bus ride going up there.
Who's going to win Navasota and Madisonville, Craig?
That's simple. I don't even know why you're asking.
How about Duncanville and South Oak Cliff after not scoring a point? South Oak Cliff against North Shore. Now they get Duncanville.
They're going to have the lowest
points.
What do
you think?
They're going to have the lowest points scored for any football team in Texas high school football after this week. What about this one? Here's a good one. New Caney West Fork in Cleveland. Do you think Cleveland has an opportunity to get their
no.
win?
No. I don't.
I don't either.
Toby, I'm talking about a 6A school that's probably got two dozen seniors playing for them and a team that don't even have a senior.
Splendor put 77 points on them, Craig.
Won't even have a graduating class.
Splendor didn't beat Cole Springs last year. They went 5-5.
But they got that new quarterback.
Okay.
They got the new quarterback. There
all
in
right.
Splendor.
You pick them then.
So I'm just saying that I think Cleveland may have that opportunity to get a win. What? Y'all may be saying, roll the tape back next week. But I'm just saying that both teams looking for their first win.
How about Hampshire, Vernet, and Hitchcock?
That's huge.
Hampshire really needs to show me they can throw it around. If they're going to be picked to win that district.
Yeah.
I mean, Jasper's playing Tyler Chapel Hill, which is number two.
Right.
They got to show us something, especially against Hitchcock. I think Hitchcock's down this year, right? They're not what they were last year. Last year, I think they were on a thread. Remember them in Columbus?
Yeah.
Where I think they lost everything. Yeah.
Yeah, they had that quarterback. He went to Tech.
Yeah. Right? I want to see Hampshire sling that thing around, put some points up.
And I think you will.
I think so, too.
I think you will.
I know they're good enough, too. I know
right.
that. I've seen it, so.
Dayton and Kingwood Park. Kingwood Park lost.
Let's talk about this real quick. Let's back up real quick, okay? Dayton over Crosby this past week. Was Crosby a catastrophic failure?
But no, wait a minute.
What happened?
Go back to last year. Crosby got started really extremely slow and then just kind of excelled late.
But Dayton.
Oh, I know.
No, Crosby was supposed to be the next. I mean,
there's been a lot of traffic move in over there, Dayton.
That is not going well over there.
So, for Crosby?
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. When I saw that, I was like, ooh.
So, let me ask you this, Toby. This is, and I don't know if it's in the pick'ems, Trent. Liberty on the road at Splendor. Is it in the pick'ems?
It is not, but I'm going to be watching that game closely.
That would have been a good one to put in there.
That would have been.
You have Splendor coming off of the 77 points.
And pick'ems are still left up to conversation whenever we get there. I mean, it's not like we're locked in, right?
That's
because I mean, you're like, man, 77 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many people will fall into that?
But how bad was Cleveland?
Well, exactly.
77 points, but, bad.
I mean, they rolled 77 points on them.
6A school.
Man. I don't know. But, you know, I can tell you this much, that Liberty's defense will get so much better between now and 3 or 4 weeks.
Yes.
So I would think coming off of what just happened, I would think that they should be pretty up for that game. Is that at Splendor?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah, on the turf. What about this one? Orangefield, New Waverly.
Orangefield should rock.
Why is Orangefield playing New Waverly?
Why are they playing New Waverly? Exactly.
That Trent,
what are we doing?
Why are they playing New Waverly?
Dude, your guess is as good as mine, and I can't imagine who did the schedule on the way out. Was it Smalley? I don't know. Was it the new coach? I don't know. I gotta think that Orangefield will handle New Waverly, especially coming off that loss to Woodville. You know, you gotta think they gotta bounce back against New Waverly, right? Just a confidence booster type football game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shocking there, Craig. You bring that up.
It is.
Shock.
But I want to bring something up, and something that I thought we had a very good crew in Liberty, officiating crew for Tasso. I thought Friday night, mid-range football, 3A, 4A football, I thought overall that officiating crew did a pretty good job. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought they did.
Toby, Trent, did y'all have a good crew down there in Anahuac?
I felt like it. There weren't any penalties or any calls that were just like flamboyantly wrong or anything like that. It was very even keel. They were very communicative to the signals. They actually giving signals twice, you know, to each sideline, which is great to see. Sometimes you don't get that. Sometimes, man, there were a couple games last year where we didn't get anything. Signals at all.
Right.
You know.
So my point to it is we got lucky. Both of us did, you know, this week had good officiating crews, but
ours could have got out of hand quick.
Very, because there was some tempers flying.
We had a punt return that our guy calls a fair catch, and I mean he just gets decapitated.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Cleaned house.
Yeah. And just the guy ran through, so that could have went one way. We had a kickoff, Trent, and nobody went to the ball.
Yeah.
It was the craziest thing ever. It was just guys just standing around.
So my point to the direction I'm going is, you know, Tasso, they're struggling for officials overall. You know, not just football, but baseball, softball, you know, even basketball. And we kind of talked about it before my computer crashed last week. But, you know, Tasso is – those officials, I mean, if you're looking for something, if you love high school football or basketball or baseball, softball, if you absolutely love it and have a passion and you want to get paid to go watch football games, look up your local Tasso chapter. Go to tasso.com, and they'll show you where the chapters are there. But run over there and get involved. I know I umpire a lot of baseball. Trent does as well. But Toby's oldest, Cameron, he umpired for me this year and absolutely loved it at the local league level. And it's something that it's going to be kind of a footprint for him to grow on whenever he goes off to college and wants to make some extra money, be able to go, you know, umpire some little league baseball wherever he's at. But my point with all of it is, and Trent, you can elaborate a little bit more, but, you know, get out there and get involved. Put them stripes on and go to the clinics.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you don't have to get down on the field. I think I said this last week. I actually said it Friday night when we were talking about Tasso, and we're going to see more and more games being played on Thursdays and Saturdays, and it's because of the shortage. And like I said, you don't have to necessarily be down on the field. You can run chains. You can be up in the press box helping with the clock and the scoreboard. There are other things to do than to just be running around down on the field, but they desperately need people to be down there on the field and do your due diligence, right? Do your, you know, get serious about it, do your research and go to these clinics and things like that. Earn yourself a little extra money. We could all use a little extra money right now, right?
Most definitely we could. So, but yeah, go out there, tasso.com. And if you're interested, go get involved. Be a lot of fun. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got the Pick'em segment. Lots of good football to talk about through the Pick'ems. You're listening to the 599 Sports Show powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this. Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744. Or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.
www.thegreatdriveway.com.
Building a new home? Does your driveway need a long overdue facelift? Or are you just looking to finally get that lot cleared to build something great? Look no further. Trust the locally owned and operated professionals at Title Services Incorporated. No need to hire multiple contractors. Title Services does all phases of residential and commercial land clearing, house pads, ponds, dirt and rock delivery, and demolition. Call for a free estimate today at 409-267-1057 or visit them on Facebook at Title Services, Inc.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Welcome back to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Toby Tolis in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. And Trent Hart down there in Anahuac, Texas, in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. And can't say enough about Randy's Rubs and Porter's Processing stepping up. And our favorite segment probably of this show is the pick'ems. And in the words of Randy Nance at randysrubs.com, it don't suck, y'all. Neither does these pick'ems. So as we talked to earlier on, Trent's in dead last in the pick'ems contest.
Dead last.
Like his new name, I'm going to program it in my phone, is Caboose. I got Whistleblower and I got Caboose. So that's Trent's new name in my phone is Caboose, since he's in the back of the pack. Until he moves up, then he'll get his name back. So
yeah.
But good contest for the pick'ems, and I'm excited about it. And people listening into the podcast, they're going to be able to join in on Monday mornings. We post on the 599 Sports page there on Facebook. We'll post our pick'ems, and you can chime in right there in the comments. We'll shut them off on Thursday at noon is when we lock the comments. So you can comment all the way up till Thursday at noon. If you happen to listen to the show, and maybe it's Thursday that you listen to it, if you reach out to myself or Trent, we can unlock and let you get in. And, you know, but let's not make it a habit of doing that. But
right. We don't want to get last minute messages before game time. Right.
Right. Exactly. If you message us on Friday, we're not going to give you that opportunity. But if it's like 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon and you just missed it, Toby gets that way.
Yeah.
I was really upset that Julie didn't chime in on the pick'ems. She's one of the top fans on the page.
She's one of the top fans, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I was
forgot to ask her, hey, what? You need to get in on this deal. I can't believe you didn't dial in.
So let me ask you this.
Not too late. You know,
Toby, Julie.
It's not. You can get in.
Yeah.
Still. It's just week one.
Yeah, still a lot of football left. But do you think, Toby, after this last week, Julie rode with us to the football game? It was her first trip with all of us, you know. And Dylan, do you think she's opting out of riding the football games with us from now on?
I do.
You think she's done?
She don't like this. First and foremost, El Burrito, shouts out to them. They stayed open for us at Liberty, right?
Yeah.
So we went over there and got something to eat, and she's one of those that doesn't like to sit around and chat like we do, and she's like, oh, that was horrible. Like, I want to go home after the game. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, because this week when we get done, we'll be going over to El Taquito.
True.
In Cold Spring. So, we'll be stomping it up in there. So, it'll be a pretty good deal. But I was just curious if she gave you any feedback.
That was her feedback.
She's done.
Pretty much.
Like Case in the sheep riding.
I said, why? Well, I want to go home after the games.
Okay. Trent, she went and sat in the truck and read her Kindle while we ate.
I don't blame her.
It was a bunch of nonsense going back and forth, wasn't it, Craig?
Yeah, it was. It was fun, though.
We have fun, though, yeah.
Let's dive into these pick'ems, Trent. You got the list and the game of the week. Toby and I have no clue who it is. We got an idea, but we left it up to Trent.
I think that's a good idea to leave it up to whoever loses the previous week to pick the game of the week.
Yes.
That is really good.
Yes. I like that.
Yeah.
We're so making whoever, stuff up as we go.
Between the three of us, whoever comes in last gets to pick the game of the week.
I like his thinking.
I do, too. I like it as well. So fire off the first one, Trent.
All right, we're going to start with Craig here, and we'll snake it. How about that? We'll go with Craig, Toby, then me, and then we'll start with me, go back to Toby, and back to Craig. We're going to start with the Shepherd at Cold Springs Battle of San Jacinto, Craig.
Man, so this is a tough one. I got the overall record. It's, but I don't care about the overall record. I'm looking at the record since Ken Stanley's been here in Cold Spring, and Miles Robinson has been in Shepherd. So Coach Robinson, his time in Shepherd extends past the time that Coach Stanley has been here. And if you look at the record over the last 8 years, it is in favor of the Shepherd Pirates. With that being said, this game is a home game for the Cold Spring Trojans. I know what Shepherd has in the backfield. I know what Cold Spring has in the backfield. I know what Cold Spring's potential is defensively. They got a big win for Cold Spring this last week against Liberty. I'm going with Shepherd.
Ooh. Craig, you come out of left field on that. You've been the whole time on the Cold Spring Trojan bandwagon. Okay.
I'm just.
All right, so.
Just going over all history.
I'm kind of on the same thing he is. I'm looking at the score from last week with Shepherd getting knocked by Kirbyville. It concerns me.
Right.
It does.
But doesn't it concern you that Cold Spring was only able to put up 8 points?
It does. It does. But I know what Cold Springs is capable of doing if you put them in the right spots.
Well, you think Shepherd may be capable of more if they put them in the right spots?
Once again, if you put this group in the right spots, they should beat Shepherd every time you're in, you're out.
You see what I'm doing here, don't you, Trent?
I understand what I'm saying. So with that being said, my pick will be the Cold Springs Trojans bring that trophy back to Cold Springs.
They're bringing it back this year.
They're bringing it back.
Do you want to throw just off-the-wall prediction score-wise?
I don't want to do that because I don't.
Maybe 21-14, something like that.
I don't even want to go there. Trent, I just want you to know I picked it.
I think it's going to be low. I think it's going to be low. Trent, just my opinion.
Give us your opinion on this.
I'm with Toby. I mean, you look at that Kirbyville Shepherd game, and I know what Liberty is. I've seen them, and I know that they're a scrappy team. So it's kind of a hard one. I am leaning Cold Spring, and I'm going to go with my butt on or my gut, not my butt.
They're both the same size.
But it'd be a different story. So I am going to go with Cold Spring. That is what my gut is telling me. Don't ask me particularly why. I think that Shepherd might have lost more than what I thought they had lost from the playoff game that we saw them in last year, Craig.
We're going to see. We'll find out Friday night. What's your next game?
Next game up is Silsbee at LCM, and this one is not necessarily so hard. I think just scoreboard watching, seeing that Silsbee won against Vider 28-14 and LCM dropping to Hampshire Finette by a touchdown, I'm going to go with Silsbee.
TT.
I'm going to go with Little Cypress Reeseville in this one.
Home game for Little Cypress.
Yep.
And fought hard.
I watched Silsbee last year, and the one guy they had was good. He's gone. I don't know what they had coming up.
Yeah.
I just, after seeing what LCM looked like this past week, I have to go with LCM.
So I'm sitting here looking at it, and I think pound for pound, Silsbee's probably got more talent, more size than what LCM does overall whenever I look at this. But yet, I look at the fight that LCM put up on the road at Hampshire Finette last week in unfavorable conditions as well. I'm going to follow suit with Toby and go LCM on this one. I think this is going to be the kind of one of the worst starts that Silsbee's had to the beginning of a season in a while.
It's weird making my picks on Sunday. Normally, I don't make my pick-ems until like Thursday morning.
Yeah. Do you feel the excuses? You feel
this
the
FYI.
Do you feel the excuses already coming, Toby?
I'm hearing it. I'm seeing it.
What's game three?
Game three is Hampshire Finette at Hitchcock.
I'll start it. I'll start this. All right. Or Toby, do you want to start it?
Don't matter.
I mean, I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going.
I'm going to answer for me and Toby. We're both going with Hampshire Finette. We think they're going to sling the rock around. Toby said it earlier.
They did not lose that much. I know what they got.
I think Hampshire Finette is looking for a staple game, and this is going to be it.
I agree.
I am also going Hampshire Finette.
That was pretty simple. Next game
is a really good game, and I'll start this one. Or no, Toby, it's your turn to start one off. This is going to be a really good game in this division. So, Lovelady at Timpson.
Ooh,
Timpson, a really good football team last year. We know what they did, and we all know that the 590 Sports Show is big fans of the Lovelady Lions. So, Toby, who you got?
I'm going to have to go with Lovelady on this one.
I'm going to follow suit, and I'm going to tell you why. Lovelady was young last year, right, and had a really successful season. I got to watch them scrimmage Corgan. I got to watch the speed that they have, and even still being kind of young, they're junior heavy this year. Really looking forward to seeing what Lovelady does. And I even told Toby that this may be the year that Lovelady can beat Mart. But I'm going with Lovelady in this one. I think it's going to be a good football game. To go with that on the other side, I know what Timpson lost from last year. Not only did they lose a head coach, but they lost Mr. Texas High School Football. So I got to go with Lovelady in this game.
Yeah, I mean, looking at TexasHighSchoolFootball.com, I mean, Timpson's favored by 21 points. And that's computer. And we all know what the computer did last week. Or at least I saw some computer estimates that were just completely crazy. They beat Timpson, beat West Sabine last week, 39-22. And, of course, Lovelady down here at the bottom beat Elkhart 42-22. I think losing Mr. Texas High School Football is a big deal. Losing their coach is a big deal. I've got to stay with Lovelady as well.
I like sold that. Him. You did I sell sold it. Him. No, but Lovelady honestly has an all-around team. I mean, they've got your baseball guys. They got your athletic guys.
Yep.
They've been brewing the last couple of years. And their biggest thing has been Mart. Obviously, that's what they can, you know, every time, they're going to do it this year. I say, Craig, they can't get past Mart. Mark goes and gets beat by Whitney. What was 42 to something. That was like real concerning. So I don't know. Yeah, I think they take Timpson.
Yeah. What you got next?
The next game, Liberty at Splendora.
You're starting this one, right, Trent?
Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
You know what? As much as I want Liberty to succeed and I like their atmosphere and the way that their direction is moving, 77 points is hard to ignore, isn't it?
I mean, keep going, Craig. Keep
going. 70 points, not 77. That was Palestine Westwood. Yeah. 70 points. But you were talking about against a Cleveland team that's not very good. So I don't know where to go here.
Well, you better pick a spot real quick.
Still 70 points is hard to ignore, and I don't know much about Splendora. So I'm gonna go Splendora.
He's going Splendora.
He's trying to make a mount, like come back from the bottom.
Yeah, he's like,
you have to have a differential to make that comeback, or else you're just wasting time.
Yeah. What is your thoughts, Toby?
As much as I hear about Splendora's not the same.
Right.
It's I see where he's coming from. 70 points. That's a lot of points to put up.
Against a 6A school.
Against a 6A school. Yeah, that's what we're getting at. I mean,
5A Division 1, 6A.
Yeah, so they played up.
Right.
And pounded them. Yeah, that's big. But with that being said, I like what Ked and them are doing over at Liberty. I like what the defense is doing. Things didn't go their way this past week, but I have to go with the Liberty Panthers over Swindorf.
So whenever I go back and look, and I look at what Ked's done, and I haven't watched any video of Swindorf. I know what Swindorf had last year, right, and what return from last year. And I sit here and I look at it. I seen what Liberty's pass defense looks like. We had a front row view of that this last week. So I got a good view of their pass defense, bringing in a quarterback that can sling the ball a little bit. I think that's great for Splendor. I think it's something that they've been looking for. But I don't think it's going to be enough against that Liberty defense. And Liberty is very balanced offense, running their run pass, right? I felt like that they were really balanced overnight last week. That Wilcliffe kid did a really good job handling the ball, you know, in the receiver position. I'm going with Liberty in this one.
Mark that down.
Put a period behind it. What's the final game?
And y'all put me on the spot here on picking the game of the week.
I knew he was going to do this.
Because it is a big game. It's a big game in our area. It's a big game for Anahuac, and it's a big game for Woodville at the same time. It's a big game for our district going forward. So the game of the week, Anahuac at Woodville.
Woodville coming off a win last week. What was it? Who did they play last week?
Played Orangefield.
Orangefield. Final there was 27 to 7.
And they played at Orangefield.
At Orangefield.
So now they get to play in front of their fans.
At home.
At home.
Yeah.
Home turf.
Anahuac played a private school with a D1 commit. Right. Man, this is a tough. Really, it is a tough game.
That was a great pick on.
Yeah. It is. And as much as. I mean, I'm really on the fence because I got to watch a little bit of film of Brady Barrier throwing the ball, right? With a little bit of the speed that Anahuac does have, being able to see that, that's what kind of makes it hard. He done swapped headphones. He said that set wasn't good enough. The CEO's back in the hot box. I'm going to go with Anahuac in this game. I think it's going to be 27-24 football game.
All right, so it's my turn, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you where you're coming from on this particular game. Both great programs, both rich in history with winning,
yep,
making the playoffs, all that kind of stuff. But I can't get off of Woodville. I mean, I can't get over Anahuac throwing the ball around with the good quarterback there and the last year's quarterback going out the receiver. And I just feel like that each week they're going to get better, and there's a reason they picked them to win our district.
Yeah,
I think they're heads above. I think they're going to handle Woodville. I think that adversity is going to kick in, and Woodville's going to kind of fold a little bit. So I've got to go with the Anahuac over Woodville in this one. I think the score in this game will probably be it's probably going to be, let's say, 35-14.
35-14. Okay. Trent, we know who you're going to pick.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I think that, you know, the team that I saw Friday night was a completely different and much better team put together as a whole than what I saw in the scrimmages. And, you know, it's credit to the quarterback and the different dynamic that he brings. But the team as a whole, like I said, the offensive and defensive lines really stepped up and contained that running game way better than I thought. I was figuring that D1 commit was going to, you know, put up 100 plus. He didn't do that. They were able to, you know, contain the pass game because they were more balanced. Cypress Christian was, and you know, in throwing the ball versus running the ball, they really didn't open up the play action pass. Our linebackers and secondary stepped up. So, yeah, I'm going Anahuac. And I think it's going to be a tighter game, too. Maybe not as tight as Craig put, 27-24. I'm going 28-18 on my end. And we'll see what happens.
I think all three scores, right, that we predicted, I think they're all, I mean, it could go.
Oh, they're reasonable. Yeah.
They're very reasonable. I honestly, last week in the pick'ems, when Trent threw his score out there, I was like, Stu's tripping. Like, he done found some mushrooms growing up in some crawdad holes, and he's tripping. But he had a 4-point differential in that pick, right? So, with that being said, I think where we're at, those scores are all very reasonable. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And, you know, just glad he didn't put that Splendor-Liberty game in there, because I think Splendor scored as many points as they're going to score all year up in one game.
The 70?
70, yeah. So,
I mean, like I said earlier, I'm second guessing it, but I, you know, I've got to go with it. I can't be waiting until Thursday to be flip-flopping.
Well, you
got to
have separation, or you're not going to make that comeback.
Yeah, if you follow suit behind me and Toby on every game,
yeah, you're going to stay back there.
Yeah, you're going to lose. So, and who knows? Chris did that in our pick'ems at Bullet Grill last year. He started going against the grain on some of those, and ended up coming back and getting real close.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like to see, at least at this time of year, I like second game of the year. I want to see teams continue to keep that pedal down.
Right.
And that way we can more or less go, hey, they've done roll through these. This team is for real. And yeah. I think Lovelady's got a chance to really show that.
Yes.
I think Anahuac's got a chance to show that. If Anahuac can come back and put another 35-point game up,
that's going to be huge.
It's going to be stout. Yeah.
No, I agree. I agree.
So there's a lot to be shown, and if Splendor wants to pop 70 again, they'll show me a lot.
Hey, and you know what? We'll start throwing them back in the pick'ems.
Exactly.
It's kind of like to get in the pick'ems.
Yeah, they might be like the game of the week when they play P&G.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like P&G and Splendor, that'd be the game of the week type deal. And then pick'em, what do you think? It's going to be just tight.
So our pick'ems, it's kind of like, if you're a winning football team, it's easier for you, and you're making deep runs in the playoffs, it makes it easier for you to put a schedule together unless you're 6A and nobody wants to play you.
Right. Like, now you got to go to Dallas, yeah. And Dallas got to come to Houston. So.
So with that being said, you know, that's how you get in the pick'ems, is throwing those big scores up there. And then whenever you're playing a little bit better team, you know what? Yeah, that may have been against Cleveland, but we're going to put them in there against Liberty. So. That's how they get in there. So, those of y'all that are listening, tell them coaches, tell them kids, this is what you got to do to get in the 599 Sports Pick'ems. So, because we want you there, you know. We got to cap it at some point, but.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's been a great show, great week this week, and holiday week. So, got Monday off.
Show that we're actually going to publish.
Yes, because I got everything saved so far. So, I'm
super. When are we going to have another coach on, Craig?
Next week. We'll have someone on. With the holiday week, I was going to get Miles in this week, Coach Robinson, and then I thought about the holiday weekend, and I know he does like to travel a little bit, so I kind of backed off of it.
Coach Greg Neese said that he would be on with us next Sunday if we want him.
Awesome.
That would be great, especially after Anahuac win over Woodville. Would be spectacular to have him on. So, yeah, we'll look forward to having Coach Neese with the Anahuac Panthers on the 599 Sports Show next week. So, that's going to be a wrap for this week. Got the CEO up here checking on us, making sure we pay the light bill. So, that's going to do it for this week on the 599 Sports Show. For Trent Hart down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box, Toby Tolis, I'm Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Powered by Texas Podcast Media. We will see you
at the game.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744. or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.
From custom processing, professional guide in hunts, high tanning, and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Waters Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to WatersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413.